The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 5, Text Number 2, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on April 21st, 2016, in Vrindavan, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vidura Uvacha. Sukhaya karmani koroti loka na tai sukham va anyat uparamam va vindeta bhuya tata eva dukham yat atra Yuktam Bhagavan Vedet Nah Vidura Vacha Sukhaya Karmani Karoti Loko Natai Sukham Vanya Duparamam Va Vindet Bhuyastata Eva Dukkam Yadatta yuktam bhagavan vadena Vidura uvacha Sukhaya karmani karoti loko Natai sukham vanyanyuparamam va Vindeta bhuyastata eva dukkam Yadatta yuktam bhagavan vadena Vidura uvacha Vidura said Sukhaya for attaining happiness Karmani fruitive activities Koroti everyone does so Loka in this world, never, tai, by those activities, sukham, any happiness, va, or anyat, differently, uparamam, satiation, va, either, vindeta, achieves, Bhuya, on the contrary, tata, by such activities, eva, certainly, dukam, miseries, yat, that which, atra, under the circumstances, yuktam, right course, bhagavan, O great one, Vadet, my kindly enlighten, nah, us. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Vidura said, O great sage, everyone in this world engages in fruitive activities to attain happiness. But one finds neither satiation nor mitigation of distress. On the contrary, one is only aggravated by such activities. Please therefore give us directions on how one should live for real happiness. Purport. Vidura asked Maitreya some common questions, which was not originally his intention. Uddhava asked Vidura to approach Maitreya, Muni, and inquire into all the truths concerning the Lord. His name, fame, quality, form, pastimes, entourage, etc. And thus, when Vidura approached Maitreya, he should have asked him only about the Lord. But out of natural humility, he did not immediately ask about the Lord, but inquired into a subject which would be of great importance to the common man. A common man cannot understand the Lord. He must first know the real position of his life under the influence of the illusory energy. In illusion, one thinks that he can be happy only by fruit of activities, but what actually happens is that one becomes more and more entangled in the network of action and reaction and does not find any solution to the problems of life. There is a nice song in this connection. Because of a great desire to have all happiness in life, I built this house, but unfortunately the whole scheme was turned to ashes because the house was unexpectedly set on fire. The law of nature is like that. Everyone tries to become happy by planning in the material world, but the law of nature is so cruel that it sets fire to one's schemes. The fruitive worker is not happy in his schemes, nor is there any satiation of his continuous hankering for happiness. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yadishatarine. So, one point we can derive from this wonderful, wonderful shloka and purport is that even though the transcendental name, fame, forms, pastimes, entourage, paraphernalia, etc. of the all-beautiful, all-powerful, all-renounced, all-knowledgeable, all-wealthy, and all-famous personality of Godhead are unlimitedly nectarian and all we really need to talk about or hear about, we can also discuss the plight of the poor conditioned souls who are caught up in karma chakra, not able to access this sublime nectar. And when we talk about these poor souls, actually we're also talking about ourselves, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it? Because we're still enamored by the material nature. We're still trying to build our house of enjoyment here in the material world, which will be burned to fire by the laws of nature. Yes, I will have my career with this corporation. I will get a big income. I will get married. I'll have kids. We made the dream so many things. You see? But actually, all these plans will be set. The fire will be set by the laws of nature. The cruel nature will set to fire all of our schemes for enjoyment, and we'll be left with nothing, unless we cultivate Krishna consciousness. You see. So, the intelligent person then understands, I have to cultivate Krishna consciousness. You know, I can have a career, I can get married, I can have a family, I can do all that, but we've already done that millions of times, in millions of lifetimes. as human beings, as demigods, as monkeys, as elephants. You see? And we've already done it millions of times, and we're never happy with it. Therefore, brahmachari life is recommended. But if one is not able to do, and if your lady's married life is recommended. So Prabhupada said, well, I've asked all the ladies to get married. I've asked all the men to stay brahmachari. That is the dilemma. But Krishna somehow arranges it so everybody gets taken care of nicely. Is it? Krishna arranges it. So we really just have to, you know, become serious about this fact of understanding, okay, I make some arrangements here. You know, I may build some kind of a house for myself here, but it's not going to give me shelter, really. You can accept it, but should never think this is my happiness. I have my house, got my apartment, got my job, I have my car, have my bank balance. That will never... You can have those things. But those things will never satisfy you, really. You'll never become satisfied with those things. The only thing that will truly satisfy you is to revive your lost loving relationship with Krishna. And that's why the spiritual master is very important. That's why your relationship with your guru is very important. You have to learn to trust your spiritual master. It's like we have in the U.S. on the currency, it says, in God we trust. We should also say, in guru we trust. Is it? In guru we trust. If you don't trust your guru, then who are you going to trust? Is it? Guru means trustworthy person who's purely presenting the teachings of Krishna. That is guru. So as much as you trust, they go together. Guru and Krishna go together. As much as you trust guru, to that extent you trust Krishna. Because Krishna has given you guru. Is it? If you don't trust guru, that means you don't trust Krishna, because Krishna gave you guru. You see what I'm saying? So if you don't trust guru and you don't trust Krishna, that means you're trusting something else even more, and that is your constant companion for millions of lifetimes of this material world, namely your rascal mind. Except your mind is your guru. Don't be such a fool. Except your mind is your guru. Okay? Your mind will cheat you. The mind will make you think, oh yes, I can enjoy this material world. Just give me some nice facility. You see? Give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, replete with Michelin tires. Give me a wife, and let me give her a new silk sari. Give me a house by the sea. Om Jagadisha. So we have to come out of this illusion, thinking we can enjoy in this material world. There is no enjoyment here. There is no enjoyment here. There is none. Except for those, Prabhupada explained to one godbrother, his name was Bhavananda. There's Bhava, you see. So he was thinking my name is Bhavananda, but actually Prabhupada said, no, it is not Bhavananda, it's Bhavananda. Bhava means material world, material nature. Bhava means spiritual ecstasy. Bhava means the material world. Bhava.
Not
Bhava. Bhava. He says, your name is Bhavananda, one who enjoys this material world. And he was thinking, yeah, Prabhupada really knows me very well. And then Prabhupada said, by preaching. So this material world is enjoyable. Actually, it's like a playground for little kids, for those who take on the mood of preaching. Like a kid in a candy shop, you know. For a preacher, this world is like being a kid in a candy shop. Because everywhere there's unlimited opportunities for preaching, giving Krishna to others, sharing Krishna with those who have forgotten him. So for a pure devotee, doesn't matter the material world or Bhakti Gaudiya, it doesn't matter. Either one is just as good. Because everywhere you're with Krishna. As soon as you act on, as Krishna's servant, you immediately experience Krishna within your heart. You understand this point? As soon as you actually present yourself as soon as you actually act as Krishna's servant, immediately you experience Krishna present within you. Immediately. If you don't feel Krishna's presence within you, you're not acting as servant. You're still trying to be an enjoyer, a rascal enjoyer of this material world. You understand? If you don't experience Krishna's presence within you, you're not in the mood of a devotee. You're still in the mood of enjoyer of the material world. So when you learn how to be in that actual mood of a servant of Krishna, jivaras, as described by Gauranga himself, jivaras harupa hai krishnera nityadas, the constitutional position of a living entity is the eternal servant of Krishna, you see, then you will feel Krishna's presence. Some people say, well, you know, you can't really do Krishna devotional service perfectly. This is the Christians say the same thing. Some devotees say, you can't do devotional service perfectly. The Christians say the same thing. They have the same philosophy. Well, what can you do? You're a sinner, and that's all you have to do. You can't really become perfect. You have to always remain a sinner. The Christians say that. But you know, in the Bible it says, blessed are the pure, for they shall see God. So why does the Bible say, blessed are the pure, for they shall see God, if there's no such thing as being pure? Well, I can't really perfectly do devotional service, so I'll just remain in Maya and hope Gurudev understands. Is it? Hope Gurudev and Guru Mata understand. Now, wait a minute. You should strive for perfection at every minute. It may take you a few lifetimes or a few decades to become perfect. It might, you see. But just think of it like this. If I strive for perfection every minute, do you think that would speed up the process of becoming perfect? Or I think, let me just take it easy, you know. As they say in Spanish, poco a poco, take it easy. Just kind of take it easy, you know, enjoy a little bit of bhakti, you know, enjoy. So how do you think you'll make more rapid advancement? This enjoying mood? Yeah, I can't do it perfectly. I'm just kind of, you know, rationalize my sense gratification. And, you know, someday by Guru Krishna's mercy, I become a pure devotee. Who's going to make more advancement? The devotee who's striving perfection every minute? Or the one who's thinking, yeah, I can't really do it perfectly? No, you should strive to do it perfectly at every minute. That is perfect. Even though you're not perfect, if you're striving for perfection at every minute, you are perfect. You understand? You are perfect. Even though you're imperfect, if you're striving, sincerely striving for perfection at every minute, you are as good as perfect. You are perfect. You see? So what if I have difficulty serving my spiritual master's instructions? Gurudev told me, you know, I should stay brahmachari, but my mind's agitated. So what should I do? Reject my guru? Because he advised me to stay brahmachari and my mind's agitated. No, you reveal yourself. You trust your spiritual master. You can write him, you talk to him. Reveal your heart to your spiritual master. Gurudev, I'm having this difficulty. You gave me this instruction. I'm having difficulty following it. What should I do? How can I deal with this situation? And the spiritual master will then say, okay, then if you're finding too difficult to follow my instruction to stay brahmachari, then you can get married. It's okay. You see? So in this way, if there's any difficulty serving your spiritual master's orders, don't just think, well, I can't really follow my guru. I have to follow somebody else now because I can't follow my guru. No. You have to trust your spiritual master. There's a difficulty following his instruction, you should explain it to him. Spiritual master is willing to bend over backwards to help you become properly situated in Krishna consciousness. If there's ever any difficulty, reveal it to your spiritual master. Don't just go somewhere else. Well, I guess I'll just take a Siksha Guru, follow a Siksha Guru instead. But no, Siksha Guru, the real meaning of Siksha Guru, Prabhupada told us in a letter we got in Austin, the real meaning of Siksha Guru is the one who repeats the orders you've gotten from your Diksha Guru. That is Siksha Guru. So it's not, I don't like my Diksha Guru's orders, so I go to a Siksha Guru's instructions I like better and follow him instead. That is nonsense.
Offensive?
Huh?
Offensive?
A prostitute.
Offensive?
Offensive. It's like a woman cheating on her husband, you see. The instructions, you are duty-bound as on the principle of chastity, to be loyal to the orders you receive from your spiritual master. If there's any difficulty, you just tell him. He's merciful, he's kind, he can adjust things. Well, if Brahmachari life is too heavy, okay. I got a nice disciple here who needs a husband. Well, she'd like to marry her, you know. Spiritual master can arrange. It's not difficult. He wants to see that all his disciples are happy. That's all. Let's see, all of his disciples are happy. So we should, not only should we trust God, but we should trust Guru also. You see? And we should be very eager to serve our spiritual master, to inquire from him. That's what Krishna says. The Shvetashvatara Upanishad very clearly says, Yashya deve parabhaktir tata deve tata goro tasyaite katita yarta prakashyante mahatmanaha. Only unto those great souls who have unflinching faith in the words of Guru and Krishna are all the imports of Vedic knowledge revealed. If you don't trust your spiritual master, you're not going to realize what Krishna consciousness is all about. You won't understand this. If you don't trust your guru, you can't understand what the Vedic wisdom is even talking about. Could this be some flowery words? If you don't trust your spiritual master, you won't understand the Bhagavad Gita. You won't understand the Bhagavatam. You won't understand the Chaitanya Charitamrita. If you want to understand, you want to enter the meaning of these sublime texts, these transcendental scriptures, then you have to have faith in your spiritual master. Don't doubt your spiritual master. Don't be a doubting Thomas, like they say in Christianity. Is it? A doubting Thomas. Of course, we have doubts. That's natural. That's our position. So you have to see, Arjuna also had doubts. That's why he addressed Krishna as Madhusudana. Madhusudana means the killer of the Madhu demon. So Arjuna in a poetic way, was seeing this demons. His doubts were demons like the Madhu demon. So I have so many Madhu demons of doubt within me. Therefore, Krishna, I address you as Madhusudana because I want you to kill my doubts. That's how you should approach your spiritual master. How, my dear Gurudev, please destroy the demons of doubt which are polluting my heart. You see, that's the mood you should approach your spiritual master. Not that you go somewhere else because you doubt your spiritual master's instructions. You see, no. You should approach your spiritual master for having these demons of doubt destroyed. You see, that's the proper mood. So perhaps there's some questions. And I saw somebody writing things down. It's a blank page. Here's one.
I can.
Okay. Jeremiah has a question. Okay.
If somebody comes to somebody, what they should advise, like if they have a doubt in the spiritual master, they go to some godbrothers or godsisters, how they should advise.
You should advise, if someone has difficulty with a restriction that I gave them, and they approach someone else with that issue, then that person, if they're properly situated in Krishna consciousness, will encourage them how to approach their spiritual master, how to approach me or their spiritual master in the right mood to have the doubt destroyed. Not that they'll try to become the authority now. If you can't take instructions from Gurudev, you just take instructions from me instead. No. That's aparad. Trying to surpass the spiritual master. Prabhupada said, don't try to be a better Paramahamsa than your Guru Maharaj. You see? If someone has difficulty with the orders they got from their spiritual master, then that person approaches someone else, that someone else should encourage them. No, you should explain to Gurudev you're having difficulty with that instruction and what can be done. Not that you become the authority. No, you train them how to approach their spiritual master in such a way to get their doubts or their confusion removed. Okay, now we have this question. What does internalizing in Krishna consciousness mean? Well, it depends on the context. The word internalizing is a word that can be used in this way and that way. But I could use it in a certain way now and tell you what that means. You should internalize your relationship with your spiritual master. That means it doesn't depend on his physical presence. You learn how to connect with your spiritual master through accepting his instructions as your very life and soul. That's internalizing your relationship with your spiritual master by not just the vapu, the physical presence, but the actual instructions. You see, by connecting with the instructions, my dear Guru Maharaj, now I take your orders as my life and soul. Now you've internalized your relationship with your spiritual master. Because it's nothing to do with his physical presence. You've taken his instructions as your very life and soul. That means you have your guru within you. Your spiritual master is now within your heart. He's living in your heart. At that moment, I accepted Prabhupada as my spiritual master that glorious morning in Austin, Texas in 1971. Prabhupada entered my heart. He's been there ever since. I've internalized my relationship with my spiritual master. So it doesn't matter whether he's in this world or he's departed. For me, there's no difference. Prabhupada, before Prabhupada departed or after he departed, there's no difference in me. You see? That's internalizing your relationship with your guru.
You
deepen it. You take it within you. You take your guru within your heart by accepting his orders as your life and soul. Now you've internalized it. And when you internalize it, you eternalize it also. It becomes eternal, you see. Next question.
What about on the internet?
What about on the internet? Any questions coming in from our internet listeners? Okay, let's see what we got here. Amala Purana. Dear Gurudev, even after understanding that fruit of activities bring miseries, then why do we still engage in them as if forcefully sometimes? It's due to the impulses born out of contact with the three modes of material nature. Therefore, you have to deepen your Krishna consciousness. As I explained the other day, the surface of the ocean is a hurricane. On the surface of the ocean, there's a hurricane of the three modes of material nature, whirling and swirling in various ways. But as you go deeper within that ocean, the influence of the modes diminishes. So if somebody is finding they're being pulled this way and that way by fruit of activities, it means you have not gone yet deep enough into the process of Krishna consciousness. You have to deepen your attachment to your Guru Maharaj. You have to deepen your attachment to the holy name. In this way, going deeper into your relationship with your spiritual master and with Krishna, then the influence of these things will go away. To the extent that you've deepened your relationship, or we can say internalized your relationship with your spiritual master, to that extent, the influence of the modes of nature will be conspicuous by their absence in your heart. How to overcome the forceful desire to engage in fruitive activities? Well, I just answered that. You have to force yourself to get up early in the morning and chant Hare and take your bath, observe Mangal Arati at home or at the temple. You have to force yourself to chant Hare Krishna. You say, well, if it's so blissful, why do I have to force myself? If I have to force myself, some may say, there must be something wrong with it. Maybe it's not that blissful if I have to force myself to chant Hare Krishna. Maybe it's not that blissful. Well, when you were, let me ask you this. Do you enjoy reading? Enjoy reading? Enjoy reading? When you were a kid, did you have to be forced to learn to read? Or you just did it with great enthusiasm from the very beginning? Say, little Johnny, come back from, you're playing in the yard, now you have to go to school and learn how to read. No, I want to stay here. I don't want to go to school. Even Prabhupada didn't want to go to school. They had to hire a man to take him to school and make sure he went to school. Not that they sent him off to go to school, he would just play, in America we call it playing hooky. You don't go to school, you go, it's called playing hooky. The parents knew that if we don't send him a man with him, he's going to play hooky. He's just going to go play, he's not going to show up at the school. So they had to send a man to take him to the school because he didn't want to go. So in the beginning, no little kid wants to learn how to read. No. So they're forced to learn how to read, you see. But then after some time, oh wow, I really enjoy this. I learned it, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, A, K, M, L, M, P, you know. I finally learned it, now I can read, and wow, this is great. I can read these books, and here's a book, and here's a book, and here's a book, you see. So it's that way. Krishna consciousness is that way in the beginning. You got to force yourself. The spiritual master says, when you go in the temple, bow down. He orders you, bow down when you go in the temple, you see. Don't eat boga, only eat prasadam, you see. Or don't have illicit sex, you see. Don't smoke marijuana. Don't smoke cigarettes. Don't eat any hamburgers, you see. He orders. He's forced by force. You must give up this nonsense, you see. He forces. No illicit sex, you see. So in the beginning, we just have to force ourselves. We have some faith in the spiritual master. We have faith in the process because we taste some ecstasy from chanting Hare Krishna. We get some bliss from honoring prasadam. We hear the knowledge and it makes a lot of sense. Well, I'll give it a try at least, is it? So there is force in the beginning. Just like you're forced to learn how to read. But go ahead and forcefully engage yourself in Krishna consciousness. And then, as you do that, the force, the pushings of the material nature will go away. Okay, now here's another question coming in. Anadana Vardana, another one from him. We'll take him in order. Why Srila Sukadeva Goswami started walking away from him after coming out of the womb of his mother? He immediately gave up. Sukadeva Goswami, as soon as he came out of the womb of his mother, he wanted to make sure he would not get entangled in the material world, so immediately took off. He didn't even bother to get any clothes. Immediately, as soon as he came out of the womb, he immediately took off running. He wouldn't get entangled in household life. Krishna Maya Devi does. Okay. Sometimes devotee can have difficulty in opening his mind and heart to Guru. Why is happening to overcome this? Well, Krishna Maya Devi, you just started it right there. This is very good. You've asked me this question. Now you've begun your process. You see? Just by asking me, Gurudev, I'd like to open my heart to you, but I have difficulty doing it. How can I overcome this? Well, you just started the process of overcoming it. Just by asking about it, you've started the process of overcoming it. So we have to congratulate you on your intelligence. You see? And the spiritual master will say, well, he'll then say, well, what is the difficulty? Please tell me, what is the difficulty? I'm your well-wisher, I'm your friend, I'm your spiritual father, and I want to see that you're happy. What is the difficulty? And the spiritual master will encourage you to open your heart up. You can do that privately in an email, you see. So you just open your heart up, and the spiritual master says, no, please, you reveal your heart to me. What is the difficulty? This is one of the six loving exchanges. Wait a minute, I haven't finished. And then you're next. There are six loving exchanges, and one is to open your heart and reveal confidentially to your spiritual master. What is the difficulty? That's one of the six loving exchanges, okay?
Why is what difficult is this, that the disciple is doing some nonsense. Then it becomes difficult for them to open it.
Yeah, the disciple may be having some difficulty, they may be doing something wrong. They know they're not following the spiritual master's orders, so they feel bad about that. And it's difficult to reveal it to the spiritual master, but it's better you reveal it. It's like the doctor's, you go to the doctor's office, says, "How are you?" And you say, "Oh, fine." No, when you go to a doctor, you have to say, "Well, doctor, I have this problem. I got this, you know, I got this swelling in my knee. I got this pain in my gut. And what to do?" No, the spiritual master is the doctor. So you should just say, "Well, Gurudev, you know, you told me to follow this disorder, but I'm having a hard time, you know, difficult for me." You should openly reveal whatever difficulties you're having, and understanding the spiritual master is not some cruel demon. He's your loving father who wants to help you. So you should just tell, you reveal everything to your spiritual master, what you're going through. He'll be happy to bend over backwards, do everything he can to help you get fixed up properly.
Don't want to follow further instruction of the spiritual master, that's another difficulty.
If we're attached to remaining in Maya, then we won't want to approach our spiritual master. That's a fact. If I'm doing things that are not right and I want to keep doing them, then I will not want to approach my guru. That's a fact. But kindly be intelligent enough to realize that this is the therapy I need. I need guru sangha. I need guru's instructions. This is the therapy I need to help me get free of all my anarthas. That's the next question. What?
Pay your attention.
Next question from Sridhar Das. Is it wrong for a Siksha guru to preach to his Siksha disciple about anything other than answering them to approach guru? No. Just like I give so much advice to people who are not my disciples also, so I'm Siksha Guru for them. But if it's some issue of their relationship with their guru, I can't take the place of their guru. That's my point. If they have some difficulty finding their spiritual master, they say, "Well, don't worry about his instructions, you just follow me." That's my point. If you're having a difficulty following your spiritual master, someone else can say, "Well, don't worry about following him, just follow me." No, you can't do that. That's a great offense. But I would never do that. I never do that. If somebody's having difficulty, I encourage them in their relationship with their spiritual master. I never try to become their authority. I'm someone else's disciple. I have many disciples of other gurus who are my students also on my e-course. I never try to take the position of being their initiating guru, their authority. I just try to help connect them with their spiritual master. That's the proper role for a Siksha guru. You see, otherwise he's not a Siksha guru, he's a rascal. Okay. What if the guru is difficult to approach? In others case. Well, I'm not difficult to approach. If someone else's guru is difficult to approach, I'll write their guru and say, "Look, this person's having difficulty in their relationship with you, and they say that they don't know your email address, they have nobody to even talk to you, so I'll try to help broker better communication between them and their guru. I can talk to their guru also, you see." So I very much honor the guru-disciple relationship. How can a neophyte know he's under a proper Siksha guru? Then just follow your Diksha guru. He's also your Siksha guru. Just follow what your Diksha guru is telling you to do. In any doubt, you ask him. Just take your Diksha guru as your only authority and do whatever he says. And as a loyal member of ISKCON and follower of Prabhupada, I will engage you in serving under your appropriate ISKCON authorities. I will not deny the ISKCON authorities. I will engage you, working under your base leader or your temple president or whatever it may be. But you have one authority, and actually that is your spiritual master. I have one authority, that's my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. I have one authority only, and that is Prabhupada. But Prabhupada also told me to follow the temple authorities. So I do that on the authority of my spiritual master. I follow the temple authorities. I follow the GBC, the temple presidents, not because they are authorities, but because Prabhupada is my authority. He ordered me to follow them. Not that they are authorities separate from Prabhupada, but there's two different authorities. No, there's one authority for me only, and that's Prabhupada. But they are also authorities because Prabhupada told me to follow them. But I actually have one authority, that is my guru. So you have one authority only, and that is your spiritual master. And I've ordered you to follow Guru Mataji, so she is authority because I have ordered you to follow Guru Mataji. That's it. You have one authority, and that is your spiritual master. That's it. Finished. You don't have many, many different authorities. Many authorities means no authority. It's like saying if there's many Supreme Courts, that means no Supreme Court. It's like I have many, many authorities. That means you pick and choose, I'll do with it. That means you have no authority whatsoever. You say, you have one authority only, and that is your spiritual master. And I will engage you in following the appropriate authorities according to your position, whether it's your husband or your temple president or whatever it may be. I will engage you in following your appropriate authorities according to Prabhupada's instructions. Because he is my authority, and he told to do that. Okay? Anything else?
So, if a disciple is having difficulty, and they do not want to approach the spiritual master.
Burden?
Approach. Spiritual master because they are doing something wrong. And so in that, they take the guidance from supposedly the Siksha Guru or the friend who is more compromising. So what is happening? What would be the result of the disciple?
If I don't follow my spiritual master's instructions and I go somewhere else and take instructions that I find easier for me to follow, that means I've lost my Krishna consciousness. I'm off the path. I've lost it. I'm not following the Krishna anymore. I'm following my mind. My mind has become my guru. Okay. How should we approach the subtle ties of sense gratification? Recognition, respect, etc. Nadanam nadanam nasundarim kavitam vajagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishvare babatad bhakti rahai tikitvai. You know the translation? I have no desire for wealth, women or followers. I just want devotional service birth after birth. Say, okay, see, najanam. The Sanskrit is najanam. Janam means followers in this context. Recognition means followers. Respect means followers. I don't need respect. I don't need recognition. All I need to know is learn how to give respect and give recognition. You see? So they're thinking, well, I need to be respected. No, you think, I need to learn how to give respect. To the extent that you actually are in the mood of giving respect, not trying to get it, giving recognition, trying to get recognition, to that extent, you will be respected and recognized automatically in the Vaishnava community. The less you desire these things, the less you hanker for them, the more you'll get them, actually. Actually, you can become the most famous person in all the three worlds just by developing pure love for Krishna. You see? So, you learn how to give recognition, give respect, then yours, you will automatically get it without desiring it. The less you desire it, the more you get it. The more you desire it, the less you'll get it. So be intelligent about it. Okay. What if this desire for recognition and respect is for feminine energy in this world? Are you feminine? No. You think you're feminine, you're an illusion. You're not a woman.
But namely,
huh?
Namely the qualities that are lacking.
What is it?
Namely the qualities that are lacking.
What is the point?
Namely the qualities that are lacking.
Namely the qualities that are lacking. What does that mean?
Meaning nurturing energy, devotion.
Devotion, virtual energy.
In a higher spiritual sense, we want we're all after the feminine nature. In the highest, feminine means humble servant. Actually, you all want to become feminine.
Isn't that mentioned in the?
We're a feminist society. In that sense, we all want to become feminine here. Even our big sannyasis, we all want to become feminine. We only have one male, and that's Krishna. He's the enjoyer, and we're all his. His energy, his servants. So yes, we are feminists. We all want to become perfect in feminine nature, the humble mood of serving a great man. You see, that's feminine nature. In Vedic culture, feminine nature means to serve a great man. I want to serve a great man. So that's feminine. So in that sense, we are feminists. We all want to develop the feminine nature. That I am female by, spiritually speaking, I'm female to be enjoyed by a great man. So let me become a perfect and fit my feminine nature. And it's for every one of us. Whether you're male body or female body, we're all meant to develop that feminine nature to perfect it. So in that way, being a woman is an advantage in Krishna consciousness. Your body is helping you. Your female psychology that you're wired with is helping you. Us males have this problem called male chauvinist tendency. It just stands in the way of surrender. You women have an advantage over us men because you have a natural tendency to want to serve a great man according to your biological psychology. We don't have that like you do. So you have an advantage. We have to learn from you. You're a siksha guru for us. You see? That tendency to serve a great man, we men have to learn that. And you ladies.
Like the gopis.
Yeah?
Like the gopis.
Yeah, the gopis are Lord Chaitanya was such a strict sannyasi, a woman could not come within 50 yards, even to offer obeisances. He was so strict. But yet he was chanting the names of the gopis and glorifying. Externally, he was very strict, but he was worshipping the gopis. So let's see here. Our time is running out. This is the last one. Okay. Or the last two. It's over on a sheet of paper here. How to preach to those who are interested in martyrdom, like fanatical Muslims or something? Mm-hmm. Whose question? Okay. Tell them, if you're killing your body, you can't really kill yourself. You may have a desire to die, go down in a blazing fire of glory, of some heroic act, to give your life. Actually, in one sense, it's not bad. I remember when I was a brahmachari, the whole thing came out with the deprogrammers. When I was a young brother, about 1975, there was a guy named Ted Patrick who was kidnapping devotees, being paid by kidnapped devotees and deprogrammed them. So there was this whole thing of, there was this fear of demons attacking our movement, you see. So I was standing by the Vyasasan in Atlanta Temple. I was standing right there. Prabhupada was sitting there and I was standing right beside him. And I looked and there was a window right behind him. It was closed, but it was winter, but there's a glass window. Anybody could see Prabhupada sitting there. And I was thinking, well, if somebody comes to shoot Prabhupada, I'll take the bullet. I'll take the bullet. Finish. If someone comes to shoot him, I'll take the bullet. I was feeling that way. So there is such a thing as martyrdom in Krishna consciousness. I was willing to be a martyr. If someone comes to shoot Prabhupada, I'll take the bullet. You see? So there's such a thing. transcendental martyrdom. In other words, karmic, Islamic person practicing halal, vowing to take the position the animal being sacrificed presently so as to become the sacrificed in their next birth. A devotee is willing to die for Krishna if Krishna wants. His mood is Marike Karake Krake Krishna Marike. If Krishna wants to kill me, nobody can protect me. If Krishna wants to protect me, nobody can kill me. A devotee is attacked. He's willing to die immediately for Krishna if Krishna wants. I am the property of Krishna. Whatever he wants to do with me is fine. If he wants me to live for 10,000 years, I'm willing. To preach Krishna consciousness for the next 10,000 years, I'm willing to do. Not even die for 10,000 years of the golden era. If he's willing, wants me to stay here for the next 10,000 years of the golden era, Lord Chaitanya, I'm willing. I can imagine how bad my eyes will be, how bad my hearing will be, how bad I'll become totally, and I can't imagine what condition I would be in. Just like our, what was his name? Jagannath Das Babaji. They had to carry him in a basket. He was so old, he was so invalid, he couldn't even walk. He had to pop his eye, he couldn't even open his eyes, his eyelids, the muscles were gone. He had to pop his eyes open just to see. They had to carry him in a basket, he couldn't walk anywhere. But when they took him, they said, is this the place of Lord Chaitanya's appearance? And he jumped like a young brahmachari in ecstasy. He jumped out of the basket in ecstasy. Haribo, Haribo, this is the place of Gauranga's appearance. He completely got all of his energy back. So, you know, I'm willing to be an old invalid person carried in a basket for the next 10,000 years if necessary, if that's what Krishna wants. Or he wants me to die immediately. He wants me to die right now in the next 10 seconds. I'm ready to die right now in the middle of this Bhagavatam class. I'm ready. I have one desire only, and that is to please Prabhupada. That's the only desire I have, to please my spiritual master. Nothing else. Everything else can be taken away. You can take everything away. Doesn't matter. You can take it all away. But only one thing. Don't you dare take this away from me. The order of my spiritual master. That's my only possession. The order of my guru. You can take everything else away. Take everything away from me. But let me have that one thing. That's the order of my guru. It's all, and that's my one possession. So tell him, well, this idea of sacrificing for Allah is very nice. So you should be only do whatever Allah wants you to do. Fully, not that your agenda, that I want to do this in the name of Allah. No, what does Allah want me to do? That you should find out. Not that I want to do this, and I want to do it in the name of Allah. No. You find out what Allah wants you to do, and you do that. That is the perfection of martyrdom. That is the perfection of living eternally in the service of the Supreme Person. Encourage them. Yes. It's a very nice idea, but you do what? Don't you do your own idea in the name of Allah? You find out what Allah wants and you do that. That is the perfection of your relationship with Allah. Not that you do whatever you want and say it's in the name of Allah. Is it? Okay? All right, we'll stop here. We thank you all very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanandi.